This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
Sir Charles, what is your reaction to the Chinese slaughter of 300 million of their own people?
Well, you know, it appears rather barbaric on the surface, but logically they were acting to ensure the continuance of the Chinese nation. But from the Christian ethic,
may we assume then, Sir Charles, that in the unlikely event of a similar famine here, you would call such an action by our government equally logical?
It is extremely unlikely that we should be
placed in
these islands.
It is unlikely, Sir Charles. But if the unlikely became reality, would you
then... I will not have you put words into my mouth.
I am merely asking
you. You are trying to force me into a declaration regarding a pure...
We must apologize for the break in transmission. Normal services will be resumed as soon as possible.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. A heaping helping of disastrously depressing reports straight from the quivering sphincter we call Armageddon. I am your host, Stimulator, and as the obedient herd of consumers stayed distracted by Lindsay Lohan and Tiger Woods, they failed to notice the apocalypse surrounding the motherfucking planet. The dire effects of global climate change have been wreaking havoc on human and non-human populations the world over, with
global warming's a scam of the reptilian overlords that...
Shut your fucking Exxon-funded pie hole, please. Floods reminiscent of the days of Noah hit Pakistan, displacing millions and causing a major humanitarian crisis.
Soldiers were told to evacuate this region, but the people resisted. However, when the water became neck deep, residents decided it was time to get out.
While thousands were dying and food was in short supply, the motherfucking Pakistani press was kicking it old school in old Europe. The after effects of climate change also fucked shit up in China. When floods displace hundreds of thousands...
The world is just going through a natural cycle of warming. This whole thing is a hoax engineered by...
Can somebody do me a favor and take his tinfoil hat off? Thanks.
Yo, VIP! Let's kick it!
As temperatures continue rising, larger and larger pieces of ice keep breaking off the polar ice caps. The largest chunk to break off in 50 years is an ice island four times the size of Manhattan that separated from Greenland in July of this year.
Ocean warming currents are circulating around the fjord here and eroding the underbelly of Petermann Glacier at an incredible rate, which is 25 times that of the surface melt. There's been a revelation in the last couple of years in the role that warming oceans play in triggering the enhanced acceleration, breakup, and thinning of these outlet glaciers.
This free-floating, frozen, Titanic killer holds enough water to supply North America's wasteful water habits for 2 months. All of that water would have come in handy in Russia, where red-hot wildfires rage all over Putin's mafia playland. The fires hit 14 regions in the former commie cluster, and smoke made life hell for residents of Moscow, giving the city an almost apocalyptic feel.
You see, we use handkerchiefs soaked in water and cover our noses. Or maybe you could buy a respirator. Let's hope God has mercy on us and we get rain.
To make matters worse, wheat crops were devastated by the fewer Stalin-like flames, causing a spike in the price of hot pockets. Yep, the fires and severe droughts caused by global warming have forced the Russian oligarchy to ban exports of grain, making life miserable for Egyptians, who import 60% of their wheat from Russia. Other plants crucial to the food supply are being affected by global warming. Phytoplankton, a microscopic plant that's a vital part of the oceanic food chain and constitutes half of the plant life of the motherfucking planet, has declined by 40% since 1950. Phytoplankton also absorbs a huge amount of CO2 and are considered the bottom of the food chain in the ocean.
They've got to tell people.
Tell them what?
The ocean's dying. Plankton's dying.
But warmer water has made it harder for these teeny tiny plants to get the nutrients they need, hence the yearly 1% decline. Basically, without phytoplankton, we are fucked. All of these eco-lapses are probably the reasons why the smartest man in the world is saying that humans need to get the fuck out of the Earth if they want to survive. Renowned astrophysicist Stephen Hawking offered this comment to this motherfucking show. Hey Stephen, just what the fuck do you mean?
Let the motherfucking sheeple stand up and fight the anal raiders that are fucking up the planet. I'm jumping on my rocket hoopty and rolling to Beetlejuice 3.
By the Fugees is one of my top 5 records in the whole motherfucking galaxy. Ready or Not, it's gotta be one of the dopest hip-hop tracks of all time. Check this rhyme out by super producer Wyclef Jean.
If I could rule the world, everyone would have a gun in the ghetto, of course, when you D up and on their horse. Kick around drinking moonshine, I pour a sip on the concrete for the deceased, but no, don't weep. Wyclef's in a state of sleep, thinking about the robbery that I did last week.
And speaking of robberies, Wyclef's charity, Yele, is being accused of mishandling millions of dollars that were supposed to go to Haitians affected by last year's earthquake, and instead used the ducats to build Wyclef's profile as a potential presidential candidate in Haiti. But election officials in Wyclef's home country blocked him from running, a ruling that he said he'll challenge. To find out more about the situation in Haiti, I spoke with Anthony Fenton, author of Canada in Haiti, Waging War on the Poor Majority. Hey Anthony, how the fuck are you?
I'm pretty good.
Before we dive into the current situation in Haiti, let's brush up on our Haitian history. I've heard that Haiti is the first black republic in the world. What's the fucking deal?
In a thumbnail, you could say they're the first free republic in all of the Americas. I try to crack, because the U.S. tries to claim that they're the first, you know, free republic. But of course, when Haiti freed themselves and became independent in 1804, this was the first successful and only successful slave uprising against colonial powers. At the time, it was a French colonial system that they fought against and overthrew. Of course, getting their freedom in 1804, the U.S. still had slaves, and so they weren't truly free in that sense. So they achieved their independence, but it was with that moment in time in 1804, after a long struggle against colonialism, they began a new struggle against external interference, ostracization, if that's a word, isolation, and penalties that were imposed on them by the very people they overthrew, like the French and the U.S. and the British. And so that's how they came to be. And then that process of alienation and isolation, and you could say, you know, sort of imposing a violent structure against them, is what has created, set in motion the impoverishment that Haiti has today. So it's like a vicious cycle was set in place by, you know, paradoxically or ironically, by their own overthrow of colonialism in the 1800s.
Jean-Bertrand Aristide was the first democratically elected president of Haiti, yet he has been overthrown twice by US-backed coups. Why the fuck does the US hate him so much?
Well, as usual, it's not him so much that they hate, but what he represents and the movement behind him that he represented, you know, and gave voice to. So Aristide genuinely, if you go to speak to a Haitian, you know, working class or peasant today, people in the, you know, the slums and so forth, they would still tell you that he represents their interests. He's the only politician in Haiti's you know, recent history that has given voice to their struggle, that has tried to advance. Well, his whole line was moving Haitians from poverty to or impoverishment to poverty with dignity. You know, nothing too grandiose was his vision. He was a practitioner advocate earlier on of liberation theology. This is a threat, and you know, that's a threat that was snuffed out in the 1980s, especially in Central America. There's the idea that they hate, and it's the idea that had to be gotten rid of.
Wyclef Jean once sang a song called "If I Was President." Is that a good idea for Haiti?
Wyclef has looked at how Western democracies have used the mechanisms of public relations and propaganda to elect governments. You know, Adam Curtis, the filmmaker, British filmmaker, has done an excellent job showing this, how it took place in England and how the Clinton administration did this. But it's only gotten more sophisticated, say, with the Obama movement and with the new technologies and the social medias and so forth. And so it's not surprising to see someone like Wyclef emerge with this imagery and this perception that he's built of himself, both in Haiti, but more so the perception of himself as a man of the Haitian people, even though he hasn't lived there for 30 years or whatever. He's, at the same time, behind the scenes, he's operated as a sort of member of this shadow elite in Washington, D.C. and around. He's gotten very close with institutes like the World Bank, giving, for example, private concerts to the staff at the World Bank. The World Bank, of course, were the ones who in a memo said, the coup in Haiti represents a window of opportunity with which we want to force through certain measures that wouldn't otherwise be possible under a democratic regime. The one thing that his candidacy has done is it's glossed over, you know, who else is running and who's running from the popular movement in Haiti. Yvonne Neptune, for example, has presented himself as a candidate. He was the prime minister, Aristide's prime minister, when Aristide was overthrown in 2004. He was thrown in jail, Neptune was, on trumped up charges that Canada supported and provided legal support for through the Canadian International Development Agency, that put him in jail where he was forced to endure a fast for, you know, that brought him to the nearly to his deathbed, because they were trumped up charges that ended up being thrown out, and he's running again and he's representing the movement, but there's no political party around which for him to represent, because another thing that the Wyclef candidacy has sort of obscured is the fact that the foreigners and the UN, who continues to occupy the country, thousands of troops, are backing this notion that Lavalas, the political party, what was once the movement turned political party that brought Aristide to power, is being excluded from the elections.
Thanks, Anthony. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Many motherfucking thanks to the following slaves for transferring beans into my non-existing belly. Kathleen, Samantha, Jordy, David, Nigel, Ryan, Dan, Bill, Stanford, Jim, Sakura, Flynn, Rodney, Maureen, Dan, Sarah, Jeremy, Jason, Carol, Elohim, Matthew, Michael, Forrest, Thomas, Sean, Stephen, David, Ken, Martin, Cody, and Tony. Tucayo. I also want to let you all know that I uploaded the final scene from my upcoming film, NCIV. So check it out at ncv.com. To comment on this show, or for links to Haitian history, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Bye-bye.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.